2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet today. It is so good to see everybody. I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord and just coming by and speaking to my heart and helping. And I'm glad He will help you. Amen. He has helped me many times. And boy, I'm certainly thankful for the Lord today. Amen. What was it He said in John chapter 14? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. And I'm glad in the trials and the midnight and the darkness of our lives, He will always, and that be faithful and that to come by. It may seem like it's at the very end of it, but He's always faithful to come by. Amen. All right, let's see if I can preach this morning. Amen, with God's help. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's begin to read in verse 16. And the Bible says, "And to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought of my way, on my way, toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the thing that I purpose, or do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen." Boy, ain't you glad for that? I'll deal with that here in a minute. "Unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Now for that which we have dominion over your flesh, over your faith, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." Pick up in chapter 2. "But I determined this with myself, that I will not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for the wonderful day. We thank you for the good singing. We thank you for the special, Lord, how true that old song is, that we cannot find the way alone. And Lord, I'm so glad that even in the darkness of the midnight that you do come by and shine a light about us. And Lord, you do help us and you do comfort our heart. And Lord, I thank you for that this morning, the help and the peace that we find in you. And Lord, might we lay it at your feet and let you handle everything, just as you said in 1 Peter 5, casting all you care upon him, for he careth for you. And Lord, I ask this morning as we get ready to preach, and I pray that you'd give us power in that from on high. We cannot do anything on ourselves and in ourselves. And Lord, as we preach this morning, we want to have boldness to preach. But Lord, we don't want to come and be mean this morning, or I have a hateful spirit or attitude about us. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage each one that hears this message this morning. And Lord, if there's one lost, that they would get saved, that we might be able to point to Calvary and what you've done. But Lord, that we could see the importance of making a determination in our life, and that to follow you in all, and no matter what, not quit, but to go forward. And Lord, we thank you for that. Would you help us preach now? We're looking to heaven for power. Say that sooner it's nearest tale. We'll give the glory for it all. For this in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we know about the church at Corinth, we know that they were a very problematic church. They had problem after problem. If you look, they dealt with sin. They were a very carnal church. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul told them over there, he said, I'm not able to speak unto you except as babes in Christ. And at least he called them babes in Christ. Amen. At least they were in Christ and was saved. But he said, you've not matured and you've not grown. And the Apostle Paul, he had to deal with some sin that was in the church. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll find that he dealt with fornication in the church that they hadn't dealt with. And he says, you all need to deal with this thing. And I really believe that that's what he's talking about in the latter part and that of chapter 2 right here in the part that we read. As he talks about forgiving him, I believe he's really talking about that feller out of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe that he has come back and desired forgiveness and wanted it, and now they have shifted to the other side. Before they wouldn't deal with sin, and when the Apostle Paul said, you need to deal with sin, then they roll off over to the other side and they deal with it so much that when the fellow wanted forgiveness, they wouldn't forgive it. Let me say today that when folk desire forgiveness from us, we ought to be faithful in that to forgive it. Amen. Is that not what the Lord told his disciples over there, that Peter came to him and said, Lord, if my brother sinned against me even up to seven times, should I forgive him? And the Lord said, it's seven times 70. Peter, it's an innumerable amount that if your brother sins against you and he turns and he comes and asks for forgiveness, then you ought to forgive him. What is it? Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many times has God overlooked, I won't say overlooked, but how many times has God just forgave you of something done that you've done and shouldn't have done it, but you've done it anyway, and he just wiped it away when you come and said, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to fix this relationship. And I'm glad the Lord does that. And by the way, he said down in verse 11 of chapter 2, unless Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know the one way that he weasels his way into a church? That's through unforgiveness. Unless Satan should get an advantage of us, boy, somebody does something against us or to the church or to the preacher or to you, and even though they desire forgiveness, we're so bitter and so angry, and we're going to keep our anger in us that we won't forgive. I don't know where all this is coming from, but it's good this morning. Amen. I wasn't going to deal with all this. But listen, he said, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You say, well, I wouldn't have done what they done. Listen, I've seen people, and even in my own life, and let me ask you this, very few times have I ever let my temper get away from me. Very few times have I ever lost control of my faculties. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's been a few times that I've let my mouth run away from me before I could get the brakes on and get it in park. And something has done come out. And boy, I mean, what do they call them? Them are toothpaste words, ain't they? You know, once you done squeezed the toothpaste out, you can't get that toothpaste back in there. Why? It's done squeezed out, man. And when something comes out of your mouth that you shouldn't have said or an action that you shouldn't have done, listen, you need to put your place in somebody else's place that comes to you and asks for forgiveness and says, boy, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have acted that way. It just got the better of me and I want you to forgive me. You ought to forgive them. I mean, listen, you ought to just, you say, you don't know what they done. Listen, if they come and say, I want you to forgive me, you ought to forgive them. I know that's easy for me to stand here and say, but Christ done the same thing for us. And we ought to be willing to do the same thing and that for our brethren in Christ. Let me say this, that in chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul, as he talked about, and that coming to the church at Corinth. And I believe that they were accusing him at one point of saying one thing and maybe doing another, or preaching a different message. But he says, my yea, it was not yea, yea, and nay, nay. But he says, what I said was the truth. Even Paul and Silas, even Timothy and Silas, they preached it. Listen, what we preached was the truth, is the truth. Everything in him is yea. As a matter of fact, when he talked about coming to him in verse 17, he said, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or did I purpose this thing according to the flesh? He said, look, it wasn't light for me to come to you. It wasn't light and that for me to tell you what I'm about to tell you and to tell you the gospel and to come to you. And listen, he even said, in this time, he said, look, I was hard on you the first time. He said, when I come this second time, I don't want to be so hard on you. I want everything fixed and where I don't have to be hard on you. I want you to look at what he said in chapter 2 of verse 1. And here's what I want to draw my thought from this morning, if I might. But he said, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. I want to preach having a thought on to be determined about some things. Now notice the Apostle Paul said to be determined with myself. Now when it comes to some things in the Lord, you need to be determined with yourself. You know what that word determined means? You say, well, it means to make a decision. No, it really means more than that. The word determined means to end by decision or a conclusion, but it also means to settle ultimately or to resolve. That's a big word, ain't it, Miss Jennifer, to resolve. That's a favorite word of yours, ain't it? Amen. You guys will catch that by what we sang in the choir. I am resolved no longer to linger. We have a little fun with that song. But you know what determined means? It is a decision with a finality about it. We make decisions all the time that does not have finality about it because we'll change our mind. We'll change our decisions. We'll say, well, I decided to do this, but now I have decided to do that. The Apostle Paul said, I determined with myself, I'm not coming to you this way, this go round. He said, I have made the decision and it's got a finality to it. Let me put it to you another way. Daniel chapter 9, when Jeremiah was talking over there in the book of Jeremiah, he talks about those 70 weeks. And he said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. They were going to have those 70 weeks and that of trials and everything that was in them. Listen, that was determined. It was going to happen. I mean, it was going to happen no matter what. When the Lord determines something, it's going to come to pass. And so that's what I want to preach on, having a thought. But I determined this with myself. A lot of people says, I have determined to be happy. Well, you might have told the Lord that, but you forgot to tell yourself that. You certainly forgot to tell your face that. Amen. I mean, some people, they determined to be happy. But listen, they forgot to tell themselves that they want to be happy. Amen. I just want to look at three things, if I might, that we need to be determined with ourselves about. Now, granted, don't take for granted that we leave the Lord out on anything. But a lot of times we say, well, you know, if God wants me to do something, He'll provide a way for me to do it. Now, that's a true statement. That is a true statement. But a lot of times people sit around and wait on the way instead of getting in the way and then going. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Let me give you an example and then I'll preach a little while. I've got a friend of mine who, listen, he's a preacher. I started him working on his job. He's working four on, four off. They rotate on them 4 days. So there's some times during the week that he misses church. And he says, well, if God wants me to leave my job, He'll provide another job. That is a true statement. If God wants him to leave his job, He will provide him another job. But is he looking for a job? Is he praying for a job? Is he out shaking the bushes for a job? You see, sometimes you've got to be determined in yourself how to go do what you're supposed to do, and then God will do His part. I think Brother West said it the best when it comes to this coronavirus. I liked what he said. You know, we do need to wash our hands and make sure to social distance a little bit. We'll do our part, and then God will do what we can't do. Right? Right? We do our part and then God will do what we can't do. But let me get on with the message before I dig a hole here. Number one, first of all, we need to be determined to serve the Lord.
But we need to be determined to serve the Lord when nobody else is. When nobody else wants to go and serve. And by the way, the word serve means to obey and place yourself in a place of submission to where your will is no longer applicable. Do you know that? Well, a servant no longer has an applicable will. In other words, he cannot apply his will into his service because we're serving the Lord. Is that not right? Listen, but we find that we need to be determined to serve. Serve is a broad term that's going to cover a lot today. Listen, I'm going to be determined and that to witness whether anybody else is or not going to. Whether anybody else in this church wants to witness and carry a track and hand out tracks, you need to be determined to witness. You need to be determined. Let me say this. You need to be determined that if your brethren comes to you and says, I've messed up, then you need to be determined to forgive them in your heart and in your mind. Well, sometimes I can't get away from that today. I want to hold on to my bitterness sometimes against people that maybe have done me wrong or said something about me. And if they do come to me, I listen and still hold on to it and be angry at them. When nobody else wants to serve, I want to be determined in my heart that I'm going to serve. I'm going to witness. I'm going to visit. I'm going to talk to folk about the Lord, whether anybody else will or not. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. Whether anybody else is doing what God called them to do or not, I want to determine in myself and in my heart, there's a finality to this thing that whether anybody else does it, I'm going to do it. In attendance to church, whether anybody else comes and attends, I'm going to determine to come. Did you know that to determine something and to do it, you have to make plans to do it? If you're going to have a finality to it, you got a plan to come. When you determine something, then you say, this is what's going to happen. And if I have to do all this back here to see this happen here, then I'm going to do all this back here. You understand what I'm saying? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You know why I worked at the spa company for 12 years? And I made half the money that most people made on their jobs that they made. And we worked in a fiberglass plant that was hot. But the Lord blessed me. My workshop was about the size of this sanctuary. And I had air conditioner. I was the only fella in the whole plant that had air conditioner. And needless to say, I got a lot of visitors through the middle of the day. Amen. I mean, was it 110 degrees on the floor? Everybody wanted to come to my workshop to see me. But listen, you know why I worked over there? Because I was making my determination, because that was a Monday through Friday job, 7 to 3:30, that I could go to church on Sundays and Wednesday nights. But I determined that. I determined that a long time ago. See, I made that determination. I'm not wanting you to look into my life and say, boy, our preacher's great. But listen, sometimes you got to give up some things. I had to make that determination to do what God wants you to do. Always when I look at these situations, I always think about Brother Caldwell. He was willing to give up the job that he had and move his family. Y'all probably didn't know that. He was willing to move his family from where he lived into a whole other county and work a job, making less money so that he could go to church and do what God wanted him to do. That's determination with yourself. When you know what God requires out of it, listen, when you know what God wants out of you, it's in this book, all you got to do is read it. It's very plain. When you know what He wants out of you, then you have to determine with yourself, this is how we're going to do this. We've got people that does not make determinations today. They live by happenstance in their service. Well, if God sends somebody for me to witness to, I'll witness to them. Well, okay, let's say that's true. Do you have a track in your pocket? A good question, ain't it? You know how many times I've been called out of town without a track in my pocket and God did put somebody in my way? Well, man, I know I've told you this before. Me and my wife, we were somewhere between Macon and Atlanta one time. I believe we were on the north side of Macon. coming home, but I don't remember where we had been. And man, I was in there pumping gas, and there's a big old fire over here next to us. You know, that's having a state fire, county fire. Some of you might know where the fire grounds is now that I said that. I don't know. And I remember there was a fella out there sweeping up the parking lot. And just as sure as I'm talking to you right now, the Holy Spirit smote my heart and said, "You need to talk to this fella about me." Well, I start going through my pockets. You remember that? Do you remember doing that? Man, we done everything in the world. We had our Bibles with us. We opened our Bibles up, shook them, you know, trying to find a track. She goes through the console, through the glove compartment. We go through the suitcase. I mean, we open the trunk, going through the suitcases looking for a track. There ain't a track one in our vehicle. That never happens. I mean, we'd give them out while we were down there on vacation and was coming home with none. And the Lord said, "You're going to have to talk to him." And my wife will tell you, I worry myself to death about that stuff. Because I'm going to be honest with you, when the Lord deals with you about talking to somebody, there's a reason he wants you to do that. There's a reason he wants you to talk to him or to talk to her. To talk to your Sunday school. I listen to the pupil in your class. And deal with them about their salvation. I thought, what am I going to do? Because the only way that I know to talk to somebody a lot of times is, let me give you something that you can read. And that's the way I open a lot of conversations is, let me give you something if you don't care to take this and read it. A lot of times they'll see on the front of it what it says. You know, I carry some that says, you know, what's it mean to be saved? Or why should I receive Jesus as my personal Savior? That's what that one says. But I'd have nothing to start a conversation with. And I'm going to start a conversation with a complete stranger that I've never met before in my whole life out there just sweeping up. And so I do know how to talk to people when I'm in the notion to talk to people. And so I said, "Lord, you're just going to have to help me with this right here." And so I just struck up a conversation with him, just began to talk to him. And somehow the Lord allowed me to work that thing around there to talk to him about him, about the Lord, you know. And he said, "You know something?" He said, "You're the second one that's talked to me about the Lord this week." And I said, then you need to do something about yourself. Now, he didn't get saved that day, but I hope he did. Amen. I hope he did. I hope he got saved. But what I'm trying to tell you is you have to have a determination. In other words, you have to have a final to that decision. This is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to go about it. Listen, it's the same with coming to church. It's the same with coming to church. You can't go to bed at 2 o'clock on Saturday night and think you're going to feel good about coming to church on Sunday morning. You can't do that. You've got to make a determination and say, "Man, I'm going to go to bed at 10:30, 11 o'clock. I'm going to get up. You ain't going to be here till 10 o'clock. If you went to bed at 10 o'clock and got up at 9 o'clock, man, you got 11 hours worth of sleep. Come on. I'm just saying. I'm saying there has to be a determination, and when there is a final to that end, then you have to make decisions prior to that determination. It's like being kind in our service. Just going to be kind. No matter how the world treats me, I'm just going to be kind. That's the bottom line. Yeah, we're going to get aggravated. And yeah, we're going to get tired of dealing with the world from time to time. But I'm just going to be kind. There has to be a determination in yourself. I mean, listen, make plans and that to serve. Make plans. Listen, if I know that serving is not, all our service is not done inside this building. I understand that. I know that. But I can tell you one thing, if you don't come here and gather, I doubt very much is what you're going to serve out there. If you can't spend 2.5 hours here on Sunday morning, 1.5 hours on Sunday night, an hour and 10 minutes on Wednesday night, then I would say that you're probably not going to serve out there. I understand that hindrances come up. I know that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not giving you a pass either, because a lot of times we'll say, "Well, this hindered us, but did it really hinder us, or did we just make a decision? Not a determination." I'm determined that I am where I am because of some things that I was determined of. I think I'm behind this pulpit because of some things that I was determined of, that I determined a long time ago in my early 20s. See, what you determine early in life will put you in some spots in life later on. I'm talking about decisions. And by the way, you can make bad decisions in your early 20s and early 30s that will give you some regrets later on in life. I was telling a fellow the other day, me and him's the same age, and I said, listen, his daughter's fixing to get married, or she's engaged to get married, and we were talking about some things, and I said, look, I said, you get to the age where I'm at. I'm at 45 years old. I'm at the place, now listen to me, I'm at the place to where I can look back. I hope there's still a lot of life way out yonder. But I'm at the place right now to where I can turn around and look back. And yeah, I've regretted some things at my age. I've regretted some decisions we made, some things that we've done. I've regretted them. But you know what? You can't change what you should have done or shouldn't have done. What's done is done. You can't change it. The only thing you can fix is if you hurt somebody, you go back and you get forgiveness and go on. That's what you do. It's the only way you can fix a lot of things. And by the way, if those regrets come from not serving the Lord, then start serving Him. Be determined to serve Him. I was listening to a preacher the other day. He was talking to his church. He was preaching to his church. And he said, some of you all have wrote people that you went to high school with and went to grammar school with, said you have wrote them because you were not the greatest Christian that you should have been when you were in high school, and you've witnessed to them in them letters that you wrote to them something that you should have done when you were in high school. I thought, boy, that's great, ain't it? Amen. But a determination to serve, a determination to serve when it gets hard. You know what gets hard to serve sometimes? It does. If you're going to serve the Lord, do you not realize you're going to have an adversary? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do you realize your flesh is not going to want to serve? It's going to want to do other things. It's not going to want to serve. I'm going to serve when it gets hard. When everybody's against me. Hey, listen, when criticism comes. You know, most of the time the world does not criticize you for serving the Lord. It's always the brethren. I can't even think of a time that the world has ever criticized me in anything that I've done for God. But it's always the brethren. And you know what I've learned? It's always people that's not doing anything for the Lord most of the time. That is not determined to serve. When you get made fun of, or when folk don't understand, be determined to serve. Have a finality to that end. I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful in my prayer life. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to be determined. I'm going to be determined. Some people are not determined today. They're just not determined. I was raised in a home, especially when it come to church, my mom and dad were determined to get us there. They really were. I mean, there just wasn't a question about what was going to happen. We were going to church. Determined. I think our whole Christian life should be a whole life of determination with ourselves, and says, This is what I'm going to do to serve the Lord. He was determined to go to Calvary. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that. He talked about how that his face was set like a flint. I mean, it was hard drawn and that to Calvary. He was going there no matter what. He was determined to go. There was a finished end to his decision and that to go, and he was going. And we can't make a determination in that to serve the Lord and be faithful in all that we need to do. Shame on us, ain't that right? Be determined to serve. But then we come to point number two, where the Apostle Paul said, but I determine this with myself. And boy, here's where we struggle at. Then we need to be determined to praise. I want to be determined to praise no matter what happens. Now that's a hard thing to swallow. It's easy. Now listen, let me say this. The Lord understands we're not happy people all the time. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was a man that was acquainted with grief, that he was acquainted with sorrow. He knew about grief and sorrow. He knew about those things. Do you not think he knows that we know about those things? But listen, I want to praise him no matter what happens. No matter what comes into my life, I want to be able to look up to heaven and say, Lord, it is dark. I'm struggling right now, but I know on the other end of this thing, I will praise you, so I'll praise you now. We need to praise and give glory. Hebrews 13 says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Psalms 116 said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Can I ask you, I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to answer this within yourself, okay? Is it easier to praise the Lord when it's good or when it's bad? Well, that is a loaded question, ain't it? Well, of course, when it's good. How many of us wait to be moved to praise the Lord? You understand what I'm saying? We wait until our cup runneth over to praise the Lord. And we've all been there. I believe every one of us have been there. God has done something in the middle of service. I mean, just a song that spoke to us and dealt with the situation that we were going through, or it excited us and moved, or boy, the preacher was, man, it was just a great message, and God done something for us in that message, and we wanted to praise Him. Our cup ran over. So it's easy to raise our hand. It's easy to say praise the Lord. It's easy to shout glory. Hallelujah. And I love it when my cup runs over. When it bubbles up on the inside. I love it. People would call that, they get a case of the cane hippets. A lot of times we wait till we get the cane hippets before we do anything for the Lord. That ain't the way it ought to be. Take your Bible and go to Psalms 150. You should know this passage of Scripture. Psalms 150. I'll let you get there. He said, preacher, why should I praise the Lord? Are you saved? I mean, are you going to heaven? Are you blood washed and bought? Your sins forgiven? Peace and joy down on the inside about that thing. Look what he says. Praise ye the Lord. Now, let me park right here for just a second. Let me read. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high cymbals. High sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. He started out this chapter with praise ye the Lord. He ended this chapter with praise ye the Lord. And gave you the reason of why to praise Him. Did he not? Said, praise Him in the firmament of His power, and praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. We're praising the Lord, are we not? I mean, He's worthy of all simply because of who He is. He is the God in heaven. He is the one that gave His Son. He is the one that came and saved us. He is the one that has worked when there was no other way that something could be done. You know why I get excited sometimes? Because I think about how that God done something when there was no other way for it to get done. And God done it. He talks about praising Him. But nowhere in the Scripture do I find for it to say, wait until you feel like it. Wait until you feel good about it. And listen, I'm as guilty as anybody else. Don't let me fool you. I'm just as guilty as anybody else of waiting until I feel like it to praise the Lord. Don't let this preacher fool you. Listen, I like it when it's good to raise my hand. I like when I feel good and light and airy on the inside. And boy, it's good. But you know, sometimes in the deepest spots of your life, you need to right back and just raise your hand and say, I want to praise you, Lord, for everything. It's just able to bring you out of it. It's just able to bring you out of that bad spot. Notice he told him how, told us how to praise him. He told us why to praise him. Then he told us how. He said to praise him in the sound of the trumpet with a psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, and praise him with the stringed instruments of organs, praise him on the cymbals, the high sounding cymbals. He said praise him. So he told us where to. It was in his sanctuary. He told us how, why to, because of what he didn't even deal with where to. Boy, we ought to praise him when we come in here, shouldn't we? We come in here and drag around and wait for the preacher to get done. We sang three songs, a special song, and the preacher preaches, and we go home, and nobody never praises the Lord. Let me ask you, when you sing, do you pay attention to the words that you say, or we just sing the song because we know the song? I mean, we sing the same old songs all the time, and I love them. I love them, same old song that we sing. I do, I love them. But do we pay attention to the words that we're saying? He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I want to be determined to praise the Lord. I want to be determined when I don't feel like it to praise the Lord. I want to be determined whether anybody else will. I'm going to. That's a big one when we come to church. We wait on somebody else to raise their hand or wait on somebody else to shout hallelujah and glory. We wait on somebody else to do it, but we won't do it. And then we wonder why nobody else does it. We live out of here and say, boys are dry. We was just as dry as everybody else. We didn't try to do nothing to praise the Lord. I'm not telling you to be faking it. I'm not telling you to just put on a show. Hey, I'm telling you, just say, Lord, get your mindset, get determined. This is why I'm determined, because of what He's done for me, what He's brought me through. I'm going to praise Him. I'm not saying we're going to shout it out every time we come in here. I'm telling you more to have a little bit of praise about us when we do. Whether anybody else will or not, we should. Luke chapter 17, talking about healing the 10 lepers. Jesus healed the 10 lepers and sent them on their way over there and said, go show yourself to the priest. The Lord was a law keeper, by the way. That's why He sent them to the priest. Right? Go back and read the Old Testament law. If they were healed of the leprosy, then they had to go show themselves. Let the priest say they've been healed of the leprosy. And that's what the Lord is telling them. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? The Lord said, I know he's praising me. He said, but there was 10 of them that got cleansed. Where's the other 9 that's come back? We just got to get determined about some things. We have that bad habit of in the Baptist church, or especially the way that I was raised through my teenage years. You know, I know some services are just better than us. I understand that. I'm not ignorant of those things, okay? I'm not ignorant of those things. Some services have been better than what I'm preaching right now, it looks like. But listen, when we come in, we ought to come to praise. No matter what, we ought to come to praise. And we ought to come, whether anybody else is going to praise Him, we ought to come with the determination, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. That's going to be me. I'm going to do it. Our life should be one and that of praise. Number 3, we should not only be determined to serve when nobody else will or when it gets hard. We should be determined to praise when nobody else will, when life is turned upside down. See, it's easy to do all those things when life is easy. We sing that old song. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Ain't that right? Don't we sing that old song? But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. Right? Number 3, we ought to be determined, and that during the fight that we're going to finish this thing, no matter what. Now you realize life's a battle and life's a fight. Right? You're going to serve Christ, it's going to be a battle and it's going to be a fight. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be afflictions. There's going to be times that things are not going to be so good. Things is going to be hard. People's going to be against you. Satan is against you. But we got to be determined not to quit. It's easy to quit. It's easy to give up sometimes. It's hard sometimes to keep on in the battle and in the fight. You know, the Bible talks about valiant men. The Bible talks about valiant men. David had valiant men that would fight for him. They would fight for him, but they would fight to the death for him. The Bible talks about at one point where one was fighting and he got down there and I believe he was in the pit of snow down in there and he fought so much that his hand clave to the sword. He was determined to fight. His hand, he held his hand so tight and so much on that sword that when he got done fighting, he couldn't turn loose of it. Think about that for just a second. He couldn't let go of it. Well, you're talking about needing to be determined. I mean, determined to fight. I had to get this thing to the end that I'm not going to quit. Listen, we need to understand where our power comes from. I understand my power is in Christ. I look to heaven for my power. I look to heaven and that for my help and that to get me through things. Ephesians 6, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But you know that I've heard men preach the same thing and quit. Those things scare me. Because I ain't no better than those men are. You ever seen Christians that you loved and that you thought the world of? They quit. They just laid down and quit. I mean, you need to understand that as you serve Christ, it's not always going to be easy. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. We think when trials and afflictions and problems come, and I know that I preach on that a lot, it seems like, but I'm just going to tell you, and I don't want you to get in the mindset that every day you wake up and, boy, there's going to be another trial and another affliction and another, just one more problem that we're going to have to deal with. Woe is me. I think I preach like that sometimes. I think I really do. I think, man, I am more discouraging to these people than I am encouraging because I am talking about, man, it's just so bad. That life is just so horrible and it's so bad. Listen, I understand when you trust Christ that He'll bring us through those things, but I don't want you to get the misconception and a misunderstanding that everything's always easy. He talks about in the book of 1 Peter, he talks about, beloved, think not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoicing as much as your partakers in Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding glory, with exceeding joy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they were carried off down in the land of Babylon. If there was anybody ever sent through the fire, it was them, wasn't it? It's metaphorical for us, but it was real for them. It's metaphorical for us, but real. And you know what? They were determined not to quit. How many of us are that way? We must know why we're fighting and who we're fighting and who's on our side. And what I mean by that is one, listen, we know why we're fighting, because we're in a spiritual battle, and that with evil and wickedness, with Satan and his people. We're not in a battle with each other. I don't want to be in a battle with you, in a fight with you. Because if we're fighting amongst ourselves, then we're certainly not getting anything done. We're certainly not accomplishing anything for the cause of Christ. I talked about knowing why we're fighting, who we're fighting, but then who's on our side. He said in Psalms 118, he said, the Lord is on my side.
Lord's on our side. If you're living for Him and serving Him, being faithful to Him, He's on. Now notice what He said, that we're not on His side, He's on our side. I need Him on my side. I need Him on my side. You ever heard that old saying? Well, if we had them people on our side, boy, we'd have it made. We need them on our side. When everybody else falls away, I want to have the determination that I'm going to serve. Deuteronomy chapter 20. I'm fixing the clothes. Don't leave me. And the officer shall speak. Now they're getting ready to go to battle. He's lining out about going to battle. He tells them if one of them's married, he said he don't have to go to battle unless he gets over here and dies and somebody else takes his wife. He said let him stay home for a little while and be with his wife. His new wife. He said if he's built a house and not dedicated it, he said then let him go back and dedicate his house unless he die in battle and somebody else gets his house. But then he said in verse 8 of Deuteronomy 20, and the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. He said, if you're going to be faint-hearted about going and fighting, he said, just going back home. He said, we don't need you out here. He said, because if you get scared in the battle and run off, he said, you're going to make your brethren faint-hearted too. You know what? When people quit, It does something sometimes to others around them. That makes them want. I want to be determined not to be the cause of other people quitting either. Amen? I want to be determined of that. I don't want to be faint-hearted. I don't want to be faint-hearted, but listen, I don't want to be drawn away by the world either. If you go over there and you look, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man worth entangling himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. I don't want to be drawn away. It's not always going to be easy, but I just want to remain faithful. To then I want to be determined. I want to be determined. Determined has a finality to it. It has an ending to the decision. You follow what I'm saying? There's an ending to it. I am determined that this is going to happen. Now, what am I going to do to make this happen? How am I going to do this to make this happen? Let's bow our heads this morning. Maybe you're not determined on things this morning like you need to be. Or you don't know how to be determined. I've talked a lot about on some determinations you need to have in your life. And I'm going to be honest with you, this preacher ain't got the answers on everything. But I do got a book sitting right here in front of me that does give us the answers on everything. And all I'm asking today is, are you determined to serve the Lord? Are you determined? Not have made a decision, because decisions can be changed, but I'm talking about having a finality to it. No matter whether anybody else serves, I'm going to serve. No matter whether folk that I look up to come to church faithfully, I'm going to come to church faithfully. I'm going to do my part like I'm supposed to do my part. There's people over the years that have let me down and disappointed me. Not necessarily in what they've done, but in what they didn't do. Simply because they were not faithful. You say, well, disappointment on your end don't really matter a whole lot. But it really does. Well, let me ask you something. Does the Lord get disappointed in us because we're not determined about some things? Paul said, I was determined with myself that this is how we were going to do things. I made the decision and got a finality of it. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to be faithful to come. I'm going to be faithful to praise. I'm going to be faithful in the middle of the fight. I'm going to be faithful. I've determined this, and here's what I've got to do to see it through. I'm going to make it happen by God's help and by His will. I'm going to make this thing happen. If you need to come and pray, I encourage you to come.